Greetings in Jesus' name. I was trying to remember that last phrase we just sung, Savior, if of Zion City, I through grace a member am. It speaks of it's something beyond myself. That is not of myself, that we can be a member of Zion City. That Brother LaVon was speaking about and encouraging us in. That it's God that chooses me. Amen. It's God that chooses you. And it was refreshing to think of the heart of God and how He wants no one perish. Amen. I believe he is, at some time or another, he is calling every soul. Every human being that has a heart and has life. Amen. So I just bring you greetings. Thank you, Brother LaVon, for those thoughts, and bring you greetings from the Brotherhood at Keystone. We wish each one of you that grace and peace that here in Ephesians 1, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So wish each one that grace and peace this morning, and truly he has blessed us, and he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Amen. If there's more spiritual blessings he has for us, I believe. But I believe it's only me and with the help and the grace of God that I guess I limit that blessing many times, that spiritual blessing. It's just amazing. I had these scriptures here to read, and it just blessed me as what Brother LaVon was sharing. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What did he choose us for? He chose us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And he predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What a blessing that he can make us accepted in the beloved. So we're thankful to be here with you all. And as I thought of sharing here today, there was many thoughts that went through my mind, and I thought back of over the years of the many ways that you all have blessed us, have blessed myself and our family. So we're grateful for the investment that you all have put in our lives, and look forward to journeying together in the future. You know, it is truly a blessing to have you all here and help us along as a family. And as far as Keystone, and I think back in 2014, and when Mark and Aiden were reaching out to me, and my parents were praying, and begin a greater work in my life. So I had to think of my life. How has it been since then? You know, there's how am I doing? And so we're thankful for the Lord's mercies. So we want to follow your example you've left for us. We appreciate your examples, and today we just want to, our heart is to try to come alongside and try to be an encouragement, if we can, to just bring a call and remembrance to one anothering. I'm a little short for this. Need to lower their whiteboard for short people. So it's nothing that you owe a call of remembrance to one another. We all are very familiar with these scriptures, but it's speaking for myself. You know, we sometimes need to be reminded. And I think of, I had to think here in Matthew, as Jesus sent out his disciples, and he was giving them some instructions. And he said, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. He may have been kind of speaking more of maybe some that are not in the church yet, are not in the part of Zion. And as we look here at these scriptures of one anothering, it is I believe mostly the scriptures are speaking of the church, and especially I think we can very much apply it to us as local brotherhoods. You know, it's in our own homes. And us as brotherhoods, as we function together and we walk together. So I had to think of that scripture. You know, we've been given so much. You know, we've been given so much in every area of life, I believe. And so it's freely been given to us. And so I believe I should freely give. So I believe God is commanding us to have more of a brotherhood, a we mentality, rather than myself and God. It is a vision that we want to lift up others and bless them, and not just take care of my own needs. You know, it's very easy, speaking for myself, to be very aware of what I need and what I want and what I think I should have and how I'm struggling and I need encouragement, and those are real things each one of us go through, and it's good to be aware of those. But to just want to try to encourage myself as I go through life, just to be aware of others around me. And it may help me. I believe it will help me in my Christian life. I forget who quoted this, but Linda had a number of years back had brought this quote to my attention. It goes something like, if we want to go fast, you go alone. If we want to go far, go together. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If we want to go far, go together. And I believe we can apply that in about every area of life. If it's in church life, if it's in business, if it's in family life, you know, I want to go fast and I just go alone. I don't want to deal with anyone. But how's that going to work in the future? I'll be by myself, right? If I don't bring others with me, if I don't teach them the ways of God and instill in them, with the help of the Lord, the Word of God, then I'll be going alone in the future. So if we want to go far, let's go together. You're jumping in, and so we're just going to, I thought about we could just kind of have a little bit of a Bible study here and hear from you all of just some of the one anotherings that jump out at you. There's many very familiar ones that you all are very familiar with. So maybe we could just kind of make a list here of a few that come right off the top of your mind. Anyone think of one off the top of their mind? Loving one another. Amen.
Encouraging.
Encourage one another. Amen.
Forgiving.
I'm sorry?
Forgiving.
Forgiving. Forgiving one another.
Submit.
Submit to one another. They prefer one another. Good. Pray for one another. Amen. There's another one in that same verse. In the beginning.
Esteem.
I'm sorry?
Esteem.
Esteem. Amen. I was thinking of confess. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Your faults to one another. Kindly affection. I'm sorry?
Exhort one another.
Forbear. Amen. I don't know if I spelled that right. Maybe we'll start with those ones, maybe. Whenever I think of kindly affection one to another, there was, not sure why, but I'd given Kenny, it was probably in 2014, I gave him that verse, and I forget why it was. If there was a situation that came up, but and some of, you know, kindly affection one to another, we speaking, you know, for our family, you know, it's something that we need to keep encouraging at times. But You know, even myself as an adult, you know, I find the need to be reminded of God's heart and to towards other people. You know, just being kind and I think of, you know, along with that, being compassionate, you know, and just showing some compassion maybe for their situation, or being respectful and kind towards them. So we'll just jump in here, and John was one of them that I, John 13, 12 through 17. There's a number of them that we have here, and it's not the entire list, I'm sure, that we'll look at here today, but may it be a few here that we can scratch the surface and try to provoke our minds and our hearts here today. So in John 13, just jumping in here in verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Blessed are ye if ye do them. So here we have Christ washing the disciples' feet. And the disciples should have been lowering themselves down in front of Jesus and washing his feet, as he was the Son of God. But Christ was very willing to lower himself and show them a great example. He even went on and said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. It's just amazing that he went so far just saying, you've seen me do what I've just done to you. Do this also to each other. Exercise this amongst yourselves. So this means just lowering myself in the physical act in front of my brother 4 times a year. Yes, I believe it needs to include that. You know, it needs to include that, doesn't it? God help me that it's just that it's an expression, that act is an expression of my love every day and appreciation for my brother. That's just an expression of my heart attitude towards my brother or sisters to sisters. It's a thought that I, so what I thought of is I'm placing value on my brother and his gifts and everything that the many ways that he blesses the brotherhood, that I'm willing to lower myself and to wash his feet as an expression of my love towards him. Here in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved ye, that ye also love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. These things I, John 15:17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. It's just amazing how he gave us these clear teachings and reminders of, you need to love, I need to love my brothers. You know, as I said earlier, I just need a reminder sometimes of God's heart, of how I walk with my brothers. Romans 12:1, here is, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As I thought of one anothering, you know, it's, I believe this is, as we read that scripture in Matthew, that freely we have been given, so freely give. And I believe this scripture goes right along with that. That is very foundational for me if how successful I'm gonna be in one anothering. You know, if I have a heart to be a living sacrifice, to be willing to sacrifice myself for others. So I believe I need to have this foundation in my heart and my life as we endeavor to one another. Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? So we are many. We're a group. We're many, but we're one body in Christ, and everyone members of another. So we think of our physical bodies or a piece of equipment, a building, something that has many different parts that perform various roles. So we are in the body of Christ, are all members of each other, but do not all have the same gifts and ways we minister to the body. So we're many members, but one body. And different brothers and sisters have different gifts and different ways that you are able to minister to the body. Even in, you know, our physical body, you know, my hands couldn't do many things if I wouldn't have my feet, you know, to get somewhere to do something. But we have, and in the same way for in the brotherhood, the brotherhood is blessed in many ways when brothers maybe that our feet help get somewhere to so then the hands can take over. Maybe there's an idea or a vision expressed and there's hands that come in and help utilize that vision. But the hands weren't thinking of the vision. Amen. Or they weren't, yes, they didn't, they so we need each other in that way. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It says, not forsaking, not to leave behind in some place, that is, let remain, to not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So exhort would be Greek 3870. This was very interesting as I looked at this. The Greek would give us the picture to call near. That is invite. Invoke by imploration, beseech, call for, to comfort, desire, and treat. And I'll read those again here. So he says, but exhort one another to call near, to invite one another, to call one another near, to comfort, to desire, to entreat. Isn't that gives you some warm feelings as we think of to exhort one another, to invite one another, to call near, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. It speaks of a warm, flowing, open relationship that we are to have one with another. You know, of love and care one for another. We need to have personal contact with each other to be able to exercise these scriptures to one another, each other. This should not always need to be at church on Sunday, but it gives us another great opportunity to exercise some of the commands. You know, it's just amazing as you think of one anothering, it means I'll need to be in contact with my brothers, to be able to see my brothers or the sisters see each other, to be able to exercise and to put these scriptures to work. Amen. And so as he says here, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. So I believe Sunday is a very, very good opportunity. And as we have interactions in the week, I believe God's heart to continue to exercise as we have opportunity. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another. And I just thought of, we're not looking for mechanical love, but a love that is genuine and warm towards each other. You know, we're not looking to just go through the motions and to just, you know, try to not looking to just go through the motions, but he says to be kindly affectioned one to another. But a love that is genuine and warm towards each other. Receive, Romans 5:7, wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive ye one another. Think of the open arms that Christ received each one of us as he called us to himself and welcomed us into the kingdom of God. Think back of many of you who have surrendered your lives and when Christ called us, amen, we know he clearly called us, and we heard him, Samuel. You know, we heard him calling us. And we answered. And what did he do? But he received us with open arms and welcomed us. And here Scripture tells us that we should receive one another as Christ has received us. Isn't that beautiful? It's not a reception that is a little bit estranged or a little bit distant. But it's no restraints and no holding back, but just a welcoming and a warm welcome. A warm and hearty welcome and invitation. Romans 15:14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye all also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish one another. Greek 3560. To put in mind, that is to caution or reprove gently. Admonish, warn. To put in mind, that is to caution or reprove gently. Admonish, warn. You know, I even think of, you know, brother, I've been thinking about you. How have you been doing? You know, we put them in our mind, and we put ourselves kind of in their shoes, and put them in mind, and to also speaks of to caution or reprove gently. I get the picture of coming alongside, and you know, putting our arms around them, and. Maybe to caution or reprove them gently, to warn them. It's not a me against them, but it's us together. Salute one another. Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Salute would be Greek 782, and a presumed form to enfold in the arms. That is, by implication, to salute, to welcome, embrace, greet, salute, take, leave. Salute one another. Welcome each other. To embrace, to greet. Isn't that to enfold in the arms. Isn't that a blessed picture of brotherhood? Amen. As we walk together. 1 Corinthians 16:20, and all the brethren greet you. Greet ye one another with a holy kiss. And this greet is the exact same Greek word as salute, 782. To enfold in the arms, to welcome, embrace, to greet. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. But by love serve one another, to be a slave to, be in bondage. To be a slave to my brother. But by love serve one another. Ye have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And that's the exciting thing of serving. You know, there's no law in how much a person can serve. And it don't need to be done necessarily just a certain way, but it can be done in many beautiful ways. And whatever gifts that the Lord has given each one of you all. You know, there's a, you know, I think of letters that can be written, or texts sent, or phone calls made. And that can be under the umbrella of serving, or it could be of many other, to bear each other's burdens or forbear one another. But it's just there's no law and no limit to serve. So I just want to remind each one of us in that the Lord bless each one of you as you go serve in whatever capacity that you're able to. It seems that when these one another's are a reality in our hearts and being practiced, being exercised, then brotherhood will prosper. It is only when it is of the contrary that brotherhood struggles. That's just one thing I thought about. As you know, brotherhood is very, there's just a lot of relationships in brotherhood, you know, of real things that we, you know, go through together. It's, you know, it's like a big family. And if the relationship is strained in the family, you know, it doesn't tend to go very well. But when there's peace and joy and love being exercised amongst us, it's beautiful things happen. Amen. Bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Greek 9:41. Endure, declare, sustain, receive, bear, carry, take up. It means exactly what it says, from what I understand, to bear one another's burdens. To bear one another's load, abundance, a burden, a weight. You know, brother, can I, you know, literally when someone's carrying something many times and they say, hey, can I help you with that? That looks heavy. You know, it looks like you're kind of overdoing it. And may that be my heart in whatever burden or trial or challenge that my brother or our sister would be going through. And that we can see, maybe sense that maybe they are carrying a little bit heavy of a burden, you know, and that I can come alongside and say, hey, can I help you? And is there any way that I can help you with what you're going through? Being willing to help each other in whatever form that may be. And here again, it's wide open, you know, how we can help each other physically, spiritually, or monetarily. You know, there's various ways. There's just every way that we could help each other. And there's different gifts that you all have. And it's just, there's no holding back of the gifts that you can exercise one with another in that way. We all face trials at times. And to come alongside each other and putting our arms around one another and asking, is there anything I can do to make this burden lighter for you at this time? Being awake and alert and being watchful of others around me. and trying to make their burden lighter. Or maybe we do not even need to ask them, but send them an encouraging letter, a text, a plate of cookies. Like we said, you can exercise whatever gift that the Lord has given you to lighten their load. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness in mind, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing one another in love. All lowliness would speak, that is, of humbleness of mind, humility. Meekness, be gentleness. By implication, humility. Longsuffering, with long enduring temper. Wow. But to be longsuffering, to have a long enduring, with long enduring temper, forbearance, patience, forbearing, to hold oneself up against, that is, put up with, to bear with, endure, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. It says to put up with. And Lord help us that I want to try to exceed that, right? You know, that we can just not just put up with each other. But he says to bear with, endure, forbear. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Forgiving, to grant as a favor, that is, gratuitously, in kindness, pardon or rescue. Pardon one another and rescue one another, deliver one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, here again, we have been forgiven much. And so I should forgive much, right? Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Have peace one with another. Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt have lost his saltness, wherewith shall ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. It's Greek peace, is Greek 15:14. Peaceful, be at, have, live in, live peaceably. Just very interesting here how he says, have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. You know, live in peace one with another. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer and all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. One member suffers, then I should suffer with them. One member be honored, I should rejoice with them. I think of weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. You know, you know, may I have a heart, yes, just to rejoice and to weep with my brothers. If they are weeping, to weep with them, rejoice with them as they rejoice. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things that which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another. The Greek would say one would building, edify. A structure. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things which would build one another. Isn't that, as we put build in there, it gives us a beautiful picture of building up one another. Be subject one to another. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Wow, what a beautiful recipe. Amen. To be where the younger ones, like myself, are submitting to the elder, to the older ones. And we're all, but yet we're all subject one to another. We're all putting ourselves under each other. And the icing on the cake, it says, be clothed with humility. Isn't that amazing? Be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Admonish one another. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We, I think, covered this one earlier. To be admonish is to put in mind. That is to caution or reprove gently. There is a responsibility that we have to each other to admonish one another, to reprove gently. And I think of, as we are all members one of another, I believe there's a covenant that we all enter into of being willing to admonish each other, to reprove each other gently as there's need. You know, it's even as I think of, you know, watching each other's back. You know, we have our brother's best interest in mind, you know, and it's not the present, may it not just be the present interest, like here presently, but in the life to come. Amen. I believe that's how the Lord, you know, He allows many things sometimes in our lives that are hard things. And we may wonder why all that is, but he's looking to eternity. His mind isn't just stayed here presently, but he's looking on and trying to help us to where our destination is in eternity. Amen. And so as we come along our brothers, may that be in humility. As I come along our brothers and we come along one another, that we have eternity in mind. And that love is motivating us in humility to reprove gently. To put in mind, you know, we're putting ourselves in, first of all, in the brother's shoes and coming alongside. Tarry one for another. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. To accept from source, that is by implication, to await, to expect, to look, to wait one for another. That was interesting. Comfort, here in Thessalonians, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. And that would speak of in the Greek, it would speak of intently. Intently. He says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart intently, purposefully. You know, there's as we all know, that many good things don't just happen just by themselves or just show up, you know. But it has to be done purposefully and intently. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity, intent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Have fervent charity, intent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I believe this is a very, very good ingredient for me as we admonish, you know, and reprove gently one another, that there's fervent charity, intent charity, the love of Christ that's moving and being communicated and exercised among us. As he says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And I'd have to defer to hear some of you older brothers on what all that means. I'm not sure if it's kind of you give them the benefit of the doubt, or you say, well, he probably didn't mean what you thought he sounded like he said. But just being gracious with them, or trying to not thinking the worst of them, amen? Not thinking the worst of my brother. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Wow. You brothers have encouraged us in this, to exercise hospitality one with another without grudging. It is sure a blessing to be able to come to each other's houses and just exercise that we can communicate warm hospitality one to another. It is a joy that we want to keep exercising, a privilege in this present life to prepare for the life to come. Amen. That we can rejoice together throughout all eternity. As we have received, here 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So as every man hath received the gift, I believe it's speaking of the grace, the divine influence of God, that God has ministered to me and to us and to you, brothers and sisters. He says, let's minister that same grace, that same influence, that let's minister Christ one to another. As we have received the gift, so minister one to another as good stewards, being faithful stewards of what we have received, of the manifold grace of God. Here, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This is a very loaded verse that I have much to learn about yet. Confess your faults one to another. So he's saying, and I looked that up in the Greek, the faults would mean, yeah, faults and sin and, you know, needs in my life to be open to them. You know, to be open to them and to my brothers that, well, here's really how it is. You know, here's really what happened, and it wasn't right, and I want, you know, the Lord to help me. And you pray for me. He says that ye may be healed. And this is in James 5 here, where he's speaking about physical healing. There in the account where he says, is any sick among you, let him, is any afflicted among you, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So he says, I need to confess my faults to others and pray for others that I may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I'm not sure I believe God says we need to confess our faults one to another and be open and transparent with my needs and pray for each other. And I believe he's saying that's a very, very important ingredient in my life, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One thing I think about is if I take my mind off myself and I pray for others, you know, not just think about the needs of my life, and sometimes maybe that can help me in many different ways, possibly. E.M. Bounds says, four things let us ever keep in mind. God hears prayer, God heeds prayer, God answers, and God delivers by prayer. He also says, talking to me for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. Four things let us ever keep in mind. God hears prayer, God heeds prayer, God answers, and God delivers by prayer. Talking to me for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. Talking to me for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men, for someone else. Talking to God for someone else is greater still. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. I believe Dad prayed this morning about provoking us, and that jumped out at me. He said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know, we don't want to provoke each other in a bad way, but he says to provoke each other unto love and good works, to consider, to observe fully, behold, to behold my brother, to discover or perceive him, and to provoke him unto love and good works. I had to think of how refreshing it is to have someone provoke us to a deeper walk with God by example. Amen. You know, it's we can say many things, but the beautiful and effective provocation is when someone provokes us by their lives, by the way that they order their lives and they walk with God. And I'm very thankful for you brothers to provoke us in that way unto love and good works. Fulfill ye my joy, to hear in Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. To be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, esteem other better than themselves. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. And I think to be like-minded and having the same love and being of one accord, of one mind, maybe takes effort sometimes. Many times, I would say. And it would possibly contain verse 4. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know, being willing to try to understand my brother and try to hear why he feels the way he does, and try to bring a unity and a one accord of one mind. He says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So that is kind of the heading under things that we should be exercising one with another. Things that we should be, and then there's a few here that things we should not exercise one with one another. Matthew 24:10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. So this is something I shouldn't betray my brother or hate my brother. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And this judge is very strong. It's Greek 29:19. It's to distinguish, that is, decide by implication, to try, condemn, punish, conclude, condemn, damn, determine. I guess it just speaks of condemning and damning someone. So I shouldn't damn or condemn my brother in any way. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Galatians 5:15, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Galatians 5:26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Provoking is to call forth to oneself, challenge, that is, implication, to irritate. You know, maybe sometimes we know what irritates my brother or my sister. And Scripture just saying, I shouldn't do that, just to, what if I know what will irritate them, provoke them in a bad way, just let's not exercise that, but the contrary. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And I had to, as I thought of one anothering, my mind just had to go to Christ. And the way he ordered his life and the way he lived his life. Think of the many accounts in the Gospels of how Christ healed the sick and he built up other people. He built them up. Go and sin no more. And so I just want to have more of that life in me, of one anothering each other in that way as Christ did. I think of the Good Samaritan. You know, many of them just passed by, but they didn't have time. It's not a convenient time. We don't really communicate too much. These cultures or these people don't really get along, so we'll just go here on the other side and we'll act like we didn't see him. I just want to encourage each one of us to take the time and let all those other walls, if we allow them to be walls, but let them come crumbling down and exercise that love one with another and with other people that we meet. I trust there's no walls in our brotherhood. This is more in the context of someone else, an outsider. It's just amazing things happen if I'm willing to, speaking of outsiders and even in our own brotherhoods, if I'm willing to just take the time and extend myself and try to help. You know, if there's if someone has, you know, even a flat tire. There was a gentleman that we had stopped and had a flat tire, and I wish I'd take those opportunities more frequently. You know, there. Also, who are you? There's an Amish gentleman, and he was telling me where he lives, and he had help coming on the way, but it was just amazing of if I'm willing to extend myself to someone like that, the walls that come down, and the open doors that come in those situations. So we're just wanting this to be an encouragement for each one to continue to one another, each other. I know this is you all are doing very well in this, I'm sure, and may it just be a remembrance of these scriptures for each one. So Lord's blessings to each one in your family. It's a blessing to be here.